It is the duty of our brother Jonathan Lawrence this morning to help us focus our minds further on what we're here to do this morning. Brother Jonathan. Good morning, my dear brothers and sisters. It's hard work chasing children. Sorry. Well, our spiritual immune systems have definitely peaks and valleys. At times, we are able to defeat the most invasive of viruses. At other times, a simple bacteria may waylay our lives for long periods of time. There are many different remedies for many different diseases for our spiritual health. At different times, we suffer from many different symptoms. Now, for the most part, I don't know what you're suffering from. And for the most part, you probably don't know what I'm suffering from in my spiritual disease battle. At this point in my life, though, I feel that my spiritual immune system is definitely in high gear. Our brother John Gouraud talked about going to Bible school last week. And he really stole all of my thunder for my classes for this morning. But Bible schools, as our brother John said, are a great opportunity to meet new people, to renew old friendships, and to strengthen our resolve to fight our nature together. Now, coming home from Bible school, the truth of God's word is vibrant and alive in our lives. And that's what I want to pass on to you today. I don't know what gets you excited or gets you pumped up about the truth, but when someone else is excited and when someone else shows that excitement, it's really hard not to be excited. It's just like laughter. When someone else is laughing, it's hard not to. So hopefully, some of my glow will pass off to you today, and we can all move our lives forward. Please turn with me to Hebrews chapter 10, where we will take our theme for our exhortation this morning from. So Hebrews chapter 10, verses 23 and 25. Hebrews 10, verse 23. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. But let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more, as ye see the day approaching. So I want to provoke you today. I want to make you think, and I want to make you feel something. I want a response, and so does our God. But are we willing to change our lives? Are we willing to be provoked this day and go from here to do good works? And are we willing to examine our lives as we've been commanded and make the necessary changes? So I hope to encourage you this morning to do this. So we have 3 points this morning to do this. The first comes from this day in history. Does anybody know what day it is today? September the 11th, an interesting day. So we'll take a quick look at that. We'll take a look at the signs and the warnings that our God has laid in history for us. These signs start to wake us up, to make us listen. Hopefully we will pay attention to what is going on around us. The second point that we will look at is from our readings from 2 Kings. And that is of the coming judgment and destruction that is coming on this world, whether we are ready or not. And the final point that we will look at is from our reading from Luke, and the fact that we have a purpose, that we have truth in our lives here before us. Our God has called you and me here for that specific purpose. So we hopefully will take that truth that we have been given and do something with it in our lives. So as we all know, on this day about four years ago, a major event happened in our world. Everybody probably remembers where they were or what they were doing at that time. Now, these events that happen, these major catastrophic events, come and go. And usually, their impact fades over time. At the time, it's extremely exciting. Everybody's watching, everybody's looking at the news, and it's major. It's very motivating, and it's very moving for us. It wakes us all up, and it makes us realize that our lives and the world we live in is very fragile. We all get excited, and we all start watching for Christ's return. And then really, there is nothing wrong with that. And that's why these events are there. That's why God has put them in our lives. They're there to help us. They're there to wake us up and to make us realize that Christ's return is very imminent. The only problem is how far do we sink after these events pass? Do we use the excitement that we get from these events to make a lasting difference in our lives? Or are they only a short-term spurt? And that's what I'd like us to take to do with Bible school. After Bible school, we are on a spiritual high. We're very excited. We've come home. We've had a great week together. But how long does that spiritual high last? Has it already faded? How can we continue that excitement that we had at Bible school into our everyday lives? Hopefully today this will help all of us stay excited for just a little bit longer and make that glow last just a little bit longer. By each one of us showing our enthusiasm and encouraging each other, this high can last. By reminding each other of these historic events, such as September 11th, that have passed, we can sharpen our focus on our goal. One such event in history that was emphasized at the Bible school that I went was that of the nation of Israel. Every day, we can look at a map, a world map, and see God's word shouting out to us. There is a nation of Israel on that map. And there wasn't 50, 60 years ago. But it is there today. Anybody, any one of us can look at there and see that. Even though there are many countries bound to try and wipe that country off the map, God has still put it there. And it can speak to you and me every day. Now that's exciting. That's amazing that we can see Bible prophecy fulfilled right before our lives every single day. The more we wake up and see God in our lives and in the world around us, the more it can motivate us to action. God is working in our world to bring about the return of Jesus Christ, who we are remembering this day. We don't know how much longer it's going to be. We don't know how much longer we will have to remember him. So let's take the wake-up calls that this day offers to us. Let's take the wake-up calls that our Father sends us and use them. Turn with me to Luke chapter 21. This is Christ's exhortation about the events that will come on this world. This is what he says in Luke chapter 21 and verse 28. Christ says, "And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh." We can see Israel in the land. We can see that nation there existing before us. That's incredibly exciting, and that's what Christ was talking about. By encouraging each other every single day, we can hang in there until Christ returns. Our redemption is coming, brethren and sisters, and really it can only be just around the corner. So our second point, if the signs around us aren't enough to get us excited, let's turn to our reading in Kings. Now this is a pretty bleak, not a very exciting chapter, I guess, when you first read it. It's all about the destruction of the 10 tribes of Israel, the northern nation of Israel. I'm just going to read you a few verses about what went on in this chapter, just a quick overview. We'll start in verse 9. "And the children of Israel did secretly those things that were not right against the Lord their God. And they built them high places in all their cities, from the tower of the watchman to the fenced city." Verse 13. "Yet the Lord testified against Israel and against Judah by all the prophets and by all the seers, saying, 'Turn ye from your evil ways and keep my commandments and my statutes, according to all the law which I commanded your fathers, and which I sent to you by my servants, the prophets. Verse 18. Therefore the Lord was very angry with Israel, and removed them out of his sight. There was none left but the tribe of Judah only. And to the end of the chapter, verses 38 to 40. And the covenant that I made with you ye shall not forget, neither shall ye fear other gods. But the Lord your God ye shall fear, and ye shall deliver, and he shall deliver you out of the hand of your enemies. Howbeit they did not hearken, and they did after their former manner. This chapter is all about God's judgments. It's a reminder to us about how God views anybody who goes against his ways. This was his chosen people. This was Israel we're talking about here, the children of Israel, the promised people, the sons of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And yet, even though they were the promised people, he still swept them out of his sight when they disobeyed his laws. Now that's a huge lesson for us. No matter who or what we think we are as Christadelphians, judgment is coming. And the question that we have to ask ourselves every day is, where do I stand in relationship to my God? Can you say right now, at this time, that there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness? Jesus is going to return, brothers and sisters. We are all going to have to present ourselves before our Lord. Now, this can be a very scary thought, but it doesn't have to be, and it shouldn't be. This is our hope. This is our future that we are talking about, the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is what our lives are all about. We need to prepare ourselves today for that time. How long do we have until that time? Well, we don't know. It may be years. It may be a long time, but it could be this afternoon. And it's going to come whether I'm ready or not. But as we look at the signs, as we look at Israel and the land, as we look at September 11th, as we look at all of these things happening in the world around us, we can be encouraged. We can be ready for that time, and we can prepare ourselves by encouraging each other each and every day, by getting excited and showing it in our lives. We can be ready for Christ's return. We can look for that day as Paul did, with joy and with expectation. This light affliction that we suffer now is nothing compared to what God has in store for us. Well, if coming judgment doesn't motivate you, then maybe our Luke reading will. And no, I'm not talking about that long list of names. I know that was quite enthralling and quite exciting. I'm not talking about that to hopefully get you excited. No, I'm talking about the start of our Lord Jesus Christ's ministry. This chapter, we see his baptism. We see John talking about him. And we see the hope of life being presented to us in the start of Christ's ministry. We have the beginning of his work to teach the people God's ways. We have that pronouncement in verse 22. This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. That is an amazing statement. What a relief for us, and what a weight off our shoulders. And that's what we have come here today to remember. The man who was well pleasing, that man who is sent before us to do what we cannot do. What a fantastic opportunity that is placed before us here today. We can be a part of that family of God, the family of the God of this universe. That's the opportunity that is placed before us. He has called each and every single one of us individually here today to be a part of that family. Baptized or not, you have been specifically called. If you are in this building right now, God wants you to be a part of his family. Now that is an amazing and an exhilarating idea. God wants me to love him. The God of this universe, who created everything that we can see, he wants us to love him. He wants me to be a part of his family. Now, Christ came and he bore our burden. Christ wants us to be in the kingdom with there. He wants us there. And he wants us there so bad that he was willing to give up his life Turn with me to Romans, where Paul speaks about this sacrifice that Christ made for us. Romans chapter 5. This just amazes me every single time I read it. Romans 5, verses 6 to 8. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man would one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Wow, that is absolutely amazing. We have the truth of the purpose of God in our grasp here before us today, brothers and sisters. We have a chance of a purpose for our lives. We have something before us that no other religion can offer. Now that is amazing. That is something to definitely cherish, and that is something to definitely share with everybody around us. I don't know if you noticed in our readings from Ezekiel in the past week. I'll read this to you. It's actually found a couple of times in Ezekiel. But God says to Ezekiel in Ezekiel chapter 3, 17 to 21, Son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore hear the word of my mouth, and give them warning from me. When I say unto the wicked, Thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked way to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Yet if thou warn the wicked, and he turn from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. Again, when a righteous man doth turn from his righteousness and commit iniquity, and I lay a stumbling block before him, he shall die, because thou hast not given him warning. He shall die in his sin, and his righteousness which he hath done shall not be remembered. But his blood will I require at thine hand. Nevertheless, if thou warn the righteous man that the righteous sin not, and he doth not sin, he shall surely live, because thou hast warned, because he is warned. Also thou hast delivered thy soul. Now that's our commission. That's our job that is set before us. The blood of the people that perish will be required of us if we do not let them know. And why should we not let them know? We have the truth. We have the message that Christ came and gave to us. We have the life. We have life in our hands, brothers and sisters. Why don't we share it with everybody around us? So as we take this bread and drink this wine, let it become a part of you. Let the life and death of Jesus become a part of you. As we go into this new week, let's get excited about the death and the resurrection of Jesus. Let's feed off the spiritual highs of our brothers and sisters. But we can only do this by being around them. Don't be ashamed of feeding off others. We need each other. I need you in this time of trial. Let's look to the signs around us. Let's look to Israel. Let's get excited about Israel being in the land. These signs are real and they're fantastic, and they come straight from the pages of Scripture. We can look at a map every day and get excited about it. Israel is there, and that's exciting. Jesus is coming. That's what Jesus tells us. When Israel is back in the land, Jesus is just around the corner. Now, either way we look at it, Jesus coming, it needs to motivate us. Either we look at judgment, we look at the return of Christ, and gulp and say, wow, I really need to change my life. I need to do something about this. Or we say, woohoo, God's promises are just about to be fulfilled. Christ is almost in this earth. And that's exciting as well. And that can motivate us as well to do what we need to do. Either way, though, it needs to motivate us to do something. And finally, this week, when we remember the sacrifice that Christ came and left with us, now we have it at our disposal today. We can come here and we can remember this. We also have all the people surrounding us. We have our brothers and sisters. We have each other to strengthen and to help us along our way. And we have the bread and the wine before us. We have that memory of Christ's sacrifice. Now that's an amazing thing that God has blessed us with. Let's not spoil what we have been given. We can overcome with the strength and the help that our Father in heaven will give us if we ask. So let's go from here and live this day and every day as if it were our last. I leave you with one passage from 1 Corinthians, from our readings that we did in the last week. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, forasmuch as ye know that your labor is not in vain. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all.